Okay, Genesis chapter 7. We're going to be going really fast because I want to get through Genesis 7 and try to hit all the way to 9, actually. But I don't know if we're going to be able to. Okay, look at this picture I have here. Isn't that cute? Isn't that great? But the point here is that is not what the ark looked like at all. It was square. We learned last week that it was like a box, a shoebox, right? Okay, almost every ancient culture has a flood account. And we have literature pieces in these cultures. So, basically it's either coincidence or it really happened. Yeah?
Alright, I thought when the flood came, it wiped out everybody but Noah and his family.
It did.
So then how could other cultures have written a flood account?
Stories like, okay, you have... Every culture came from Noah's family, right? So they spread out. It says, the Bible says they're scattered throughout the entire world. So you have, you know, like little Japheths and little Hams and little Shems running around. And then they say, oh, well, back in, you know, great, great, great grandfather. See, good. That's what I'm talking about. Questions, because it makes me know you're listening. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Chapter 7, we learned last week what? That it wasn't just two of every kind, it was seven of every clean.
How'd you learn that?
Oh, you gotta go online and listen, you missed
no,
it.
No, I'll tell you right now.
No, I don't have time. But it wasn't just two of every kind. Good morning, John. Okay, let's go ahead and pick up in verse 4, alright? Now, this is interesting. It says, 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe the face of the earth and every living creature that I have made. Okay. We have Jewish poetry. Do y'all remember this from last week? Some of y'all? Okay, we have 7 days, then 7 days reinstated in the narrative, Genesis 7, verse 10. It says... And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. Then you have the 40 days. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. It rained and poured 40 daisies. Then you have 150 days where the water is covering the earth. Then, the center of the story. And we're going to look at that. It's the most important part of the entire story. And then 150 days. And then we have 40 more days where the waters receded. And 7 days where he sends out the raven, 7 more days where he sends out the dove. Alright? So that's the poetry that Jewish people would automatically pick up on. Okay? So, let's see. Verse 6, it says, then Noah was 600 years when the floodwaters came on the earth. Alright, 600 years old. That's pretty old. And we learned in Genesis, where is it? Genesis 5, verse 32, it says he was 500 years old. So how long has he been spending working on the ark? 100 years, alright? And Noah and his sons and wives and sons of the wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals and birds of all creatures that moved along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God commanded. There's the 7. Verse 11, is the 600 year, now this is pretty cool. It says the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day the springs of the great deep burst forth and the floodgates of heaven were opened. So he says the exact date of the time where it happened. How do we know that? Well, Moses is getting this from God, right? This is Moses, and I'm going to suggest it's Moses in the narrative. Jesus thought it was in Mark 10. So, God is telling Moses, this is all you need to know. This is what you need to know. It's what I'm going to tell you. Moses might say, well, I want more. Well, this is what you get. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Okay. 40 days and 40 nights. Now, this is an interesting... This is really neat if you pay attention to it. It says 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus said, For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, people who want to prove that the Bible is contradictory would say immediately, wait a minute, that didn't happen. That's not true. They would say, this is a contradiction in the Bible. Because, well, why would they say that? That Jesus was crucified Friday afternoon. He was buried that Friday. He was dead and in the tomb all day Saturday. And he rose early Sunday morning. Alright? Now, if we look, go back, that is not the entire 3 days and three nights. That is more two full nights, one full day, and parts of 2 days that he was in the tomb. Y'all with me? So they would immediately look at that and say, wait a minute, that's a contradiction. However, you've obviously never studied that if you believe that, because it's totally ridiculous. Because, turn to Genesis 42 real fast. That days and nights is a Jewish saying that is used throughout the entire Bible. And just to look at that one thing, you got to be pretty ignorant. Okay, 42 verse 17, this is Joseph. He said, so he put them all in prison for 3 days, okay? Joseph puts his brother in prison for 3 days. Verse 18. Then Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. And he releases them on the third day. Okay? The last part of that verse. He releases them on the third day. So, the Bible says he put them in there for 3 days, but he released them on the third day. What's the difference? What's the deal with that? It's like, when I went to Israel, the Jewish people have a saying, it's called Inshallah. So, that it means, well, it really doesn't mean anything, actually. It means if God wills it. So if you say, well, are you going to come over for dinner tonight? They go, Inshallah. And you're like, okay. It's neither yes nor neither no. It's a Jewish saying. The same thing with here. It's a Jewish saying. It could mean parts of the day. Like, it doesn't mean, it means it happened that day. It just doesn't mean the entire day. Does that make sense? It also appears in 1 Samuel, and it has the same thing. And it appears many, many times. And so to say that that's a contradiction, well, you just never studied the Bible or Jewish culture. Okay? You with me? Any questions on that? Yes? Okay. Back to Genesis 7. Now on that very day, verse 13, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife, and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. Oh, okay, by the way. Verse 11. It says at the end of verse 11, look at it closely, it says, the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heaven were open. What does that mean? Okay, I listened to a couple tapes, while I was driving, and this guy that has like a PhD like three times over, and he's talking, and I mean, he's using words I don't even understand. And it was really hard for me to stay focused. But anyway, out of that series of messages, here's what I got. The springs of the great deep. This is evidence that this could actually happen. They have jet streams that shoot up at like very high velocity, like super fast. And this would account for rapid fossilization, all right? This is how it happened in 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, we're having like huge fountain, like Old Faithfuls all over the place, 10 times 1,000 multiplied, shooting up out of the ground. Does that make sense? Then we have eddies, which is currents. And these things, these eddies that they have, could easily move continents 1,000 miles. That's like major, major whirlwind, destruction, catastrophic things going down. Then we have these things called cavitation, which are a high velocity steam form, or it's like a huge bubble, alright? So you have these huge bubbles that just like pockets of air that come up in the ground after they're going under the water, and once these things like collapse and like burst, It's like, you know, shockwave, impact, destruction kind of thing. So you have these huge bubbles that come up and just, I mean, we're talking like major destruction here. So when you say the great fountains of the deep, you can include any of these things in it. Does that make sense? Okay. We're going to look at verse 14. And they had with them every kind of animal according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds. Verse 15, pairs of all creatures that had the breath of life in them. Verse 16. Okay, this is interesting. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded them. Then the Lord shut them in. When God shuts the door, I mean, that's, He shut the door. I mean, He sealed that thing. That's, also says the Lord, what's that? It's Yahweh, the personal God, shut them in. But when you look through all the others, it says God, meaning Elohim, which is the amazing universe, for those who really don't have an understanding of Him. So that's because the entire earth is what? Wicked. And the entire earth is sinful. So we have God, not the personal God, for the most part of the story. Okay? Verse 17, 40 days the floods kept coming on the earth, and the waters increased. The waters rose, increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated to the surface of the water. So we have a huge cork. Now, I was talking to Pittman last night, and he said, well, the ark, it's the same word as the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the ark, the Indiana Jones kind of thing. Well, that's because the word ark means box. So you have a box for the boat, like a shoebox, huge one. And then you have a box like the covenant that they carried the Ten Commandments in later on. Okay? So don't get those confused. But yeah. Okay. Verse 20, the waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. That's pretty high. I mean, that's high altitude there. That's like Mount Everest, 20 feet higher than Mount Everest, all right? Now, they found mollusks. You know what mollusks are? Like fossils and ocean-dwelling creatures on mountains, on top of mountains. Well, how do they get there? Well, I would say the flood. It makes logical sense. You have ocean creatures on mountains. Well, verse 20 just told us that. But that, some people would argue that. They would say it's a geological uplift. And that would be where the waters were that time, oceans, and then over millions and millions of years, they reduced. But that really wouldn't make sense, because we have like huge trees petrified all across the world in just like random locations, like hills and mountains. Like solid trees. I'm talking like the entire tree just frozen in time. And if that was over a long period of time, that tree would have decayed and you wouldn't have the entire thing petrified. But the rapidness would account for the immediate fossilization of trees all over, everywhere. Does that make sense? So there's evidence everywhere about the flood. And it's the only explanation. Let's see. Let's pick up verse 23. Every living thing on the face of the earth is wiped out, men and animals and the creatures that moved along the earth, and the birds of the air were wiped out. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. And the flood for the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. So we see 150 days. Here is the center part of the story. Remember I told you this is going to be the most important part? Well, here's why. Verse 1 of chapter 8, what's it say? But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. God remembered Noah. Does that mean like, you know, God's up in heaven and he sees the entire earth covered in water and like, oh yeah, there's that guy, there's Noah, I saved him. That's not the picture we're getting here. Flip over to Luke 23 real fast. This is extremely interesting. Luke 23. Jesus is on the cross, being crucified. Verse 39, and then one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Verse 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Verse 43, it says, Jesus answered him and said, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. That same word, verse 42, it says, remember me. Whenever you read that in the Bible and it's in that context, it means basically to call and remember, to call to mind and to act upon. See, God here, when he sees Noah, it's not like, oh yeah, I forgot about him. It's, I see him, I love him, I'm going to act upon it. The same energy as when Jesus is on the cross. Does that make sense? Now, interesting thing, it says the criminals. The criminal, we learn in Mark, it says thieves. Well, robbery is not capital punishment crime. It's not, in the Roman system, you don't get crucified for robbing, no matter what it is. Mark, flip over to Mark 15. This is crazy. I didn't know this until I went over to Israel. Mark 15, verse 7, it says, a man called Barabbas was in prison with insurrections who had committed murder in the uprising. So, you guys know Barabbas, right? Barabbas was released to the Jews, and Jesus was to be crucified. Remember Pilate did that? You remember? Okay. Barabbas is a criminal, and the same criminal is the same word that the thieves on the cross. The thief on the cross says, we are under the same judgment as him, except we have done the crime and he hasn't. What's the crime? The crime is claiming to be the Christ and rising up against the political powers in Rome and murdering Roman authority. That's what Barabbas did. Verse 7 says, insurrections and murdering Roman authorities. Each year in Jerusalem, they have a thing called Jerusalem Syndrome. And every year they have about 6 or 7, give or take, people that come and they claim to be the Christ. That happens every year. These crazy people claim to be the Christ. And they actually have a sane asylum just for Jerusalem Syndrome where they just take them and they send them. You know, I'm the Christ. Okay, here's the door, go in. The insane asylum. Okay? The reason why is because you have people, remember when Jesus comes in on Palm Sunday and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest? It's a political thing. They're saying, save us. Remember they wanted a kingdom now? Save us from the Romans now. So you'd have these people that would uprise, claim to be the Christ, the promised one, and murder the Roman people and then get crucified. So that's like Pilate. Remember when Jesus and Pilate are talking personally, and Pilate says, well, what Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and not the way, the truth, and life, but I am the truth. Pilate says, what is truth? What's the difference between you and everyone else who rises up against Rome and claims to be the Messiah? Well, Jesus fulfills, I would love to just take a day and just go through prophecy after prophecy and just totally and show you where it's fulfilled. There's over 300 of them. That's how you know Jesus is the Christ. See, what's really interesting is the Jews, when the Pharisees, when they're saying crucify him, the reason why they crucify him is he claimed to be the Christ, right? He claimed to be God. Yet, they release Barabbas, who also not only claimed to be the Christ, but rose up and murdered people and caused an uprising. So they condemn an innocent man, the real Christ, God, for someone else who had murdered and under the same accusations. It gives a new perspective. Y'all with me? So that's what he's talking about when he says, we have done the same thing, kind of thing, except, yeah, okay. Anyway, let's see. Oh, by the way, interesting thing. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. A Jewish day is, in Hebrew time, was when everything gets dark and you see the first three stars in the sky. So, just an interesting thing. That's what a Jewish time is.
He's in hell.
Good question. Very good question. We learn in John that he is with the Father and the Father is with him always. It's in John, if we ever get to study that. So, don't get hung up on today I'll be with you in paradise, because you know, in Ephesians, Jesus does go down. He takes the keys of Hades, hell, and conquers death and hell, or bridges the gap. So you have Jesus doing that on Saturday, and then you have also at the same time he's God. So you have it's the first time people went from Abraham's bosom to heaven. So that's a good question. It's very good. I was hoping someone would ask that actually. So does that kind of make sense? Okay. Let's see. Back to Genesis 8. Ooh, we gotta hurry. Now, verse 2. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky, and the water receded steadily from the earth. This is pretty nifty. I like this. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone. Verse 1, I skipped over it. Verse 1, it says, He sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now, Percy Priest Dam. If you look at the charts, evaporation charts, you have lots and lots, millions of gallons of water that goes up, right? But if you look at the statistics of when you have a wind come through, it increases like a lot. Wind increases the evaporation. I don't know how, but it's good science. So God knows what He's doing when He sends a wind. It's just good science. Does that make sense? It makes sense. Let's see. Let's skip down to verse 7. Then He sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth. Why did He send out a raven? Because they have really, they can glide real good. They can go across, they can fly long distances. So, logically, it makes sense. He was sending out a raven. So you have the raven flying around. Then He sends out the dove. What does the dove do? Dove seeks out the lowest point on the earth. So the dove would go down, look for somewhere where he can rest, like a tree, back with the branch. Skip on down to verse 12. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again. By this time, it did not return to him. And by the first day of the first month, Noah's 601st year, the water dried up from the earth. And when he removed the covering from the ark, he saw that the surface of the dry was ground. Now, in case you just see, like it says earlier, it says he could see the tips of the water. After being in the ark for 100 years, wouldn't that be really something just to see the tips of the mountain start to, as the water comes down? Wouldn't that be like, you know, really nice? You know, you've been stuck in this ark with a bunch of animals and a bunch of people that you probably start to get on each other's nerves. Wouldn't it be nice just to see the tips? Nerves.
It really quick. You said
100
years in the ark.
1 year. 1 year. 100 years building the ark, 1 year in the ark. He's actually in the ark for 409 days. It's a long time. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Verse 15. Then Noah said, "Come out of the." Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, your wives and your sons, and bring every kind of living creature with you: the birds, the animals, and the creatures along the ground, so that you may multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number." Okay. This is where. Ooh, look at that. This is where the ark would be. We have. See this right here? The mouse, it says Ararat. This is I don't know exactly where the right mountain is, but that's the general area of where the ark is, or landed. Here's Turkey, modern day Turkey. And Ararat's right there. Huh? Yeah. Okay. This is pretty nifty here. We have, let's see, verse 20. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and the clean birds. He sacrificed burnt offerings to it. All right, we have a burnt offering. There's all different kinds of offering. You have a burnt offering, fellowship offering, grain offering, sin offering, guilt offering, everything. We learn about that in Leviticus, which is a very interesting book. We have burnt offering. It basically says the entire animal is consumed, and it says, I want to be completely consumed for you being God, and to God, just like the offering, the entire offering is consumed. A burnt offering has to be offered after a sin offering. So you have a sin offering, and then a burnt offering, because sin is in the way, and you can't be completely consumed to God unless the sin is removed. But what happens here? Noah gets out, and what? Verse 20? He sacrificed burnt offerings to the Lord. Why? God started over. We're going to look at here in a minute the similarities between the first creation and the starting over with the flood. So Noah, I mean, he's been in a boat. All the sin, or all the people who were sinners, have been wiped out. So Noah does what he's supposed to do and offers a burnt offering. You have a fellowship offering. And that's when you offer part of the fellowship to God, or the offering to God and the priest, and then you take home and you share it with your family. You have the grain offering, which is kind of similar. Part goes to you, part goes to the priest, and then goes to God, you, and the priest. And everyone gets a grain. Okay, similarities. You have the beginning creation, Genesis 1, which we studied. You have the waters over the face of the deep, verse 2 of Genesis 1. The Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. You have one family populates the entire earth, which would be Adam and Eve, right? You have extremely orderly, goes three forms, fills the three forms, very orderly God. He gave plants for them to eat. He says, be fruitful and multiply, chapter 1 verse 28. Have dominion over all living things. And do not eat of the knowledge of tree of good and evil. And those who eat of it will die. Now what are the similarities between that and starting over with the flood? Also he says it's very good, by the way. Starting over with the flood. It's the water floods the earth. Just like in verse 2 of chapter 1. We have water over the entire earth. We have one man's family populates the entire planet, Noah. It's very orderly, the 7, 7, 40, 100, 50, 150, 40, 7, 7. He gave the animals to eat instead of the plants, or along with the plants. He says, be fruitful and multiply. He says, instead of you will have dominion over all living things, God says, they will all fear you, which we didn't get to, but it says all living things will fear you. Like when you go to a zoo, you know, we pay lots and lots of money to get as close as we can to the giraffes, and then once the giraffes see us, they scurry off, and we miss them. We went on a safari in Israel in the desert, the wilderness where they wandered around, and I thought we were going to see like all these animals. Yeah, we didn't see any, but it was pretty cool. Do not shed the blood of any innocent person. Genesis 1 says, "Do not eat the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Here he says, "Do not kill." Those who kill, God will demand a reckoning. Instead of those who eat of it will surely die, those who kill will surely die. And instead of it is very good, as in Genesis 1, God says humanity's heart is evil. Chapter 8, verse 21. Alright. Any questions before we go? Next week, I'm telling you, I didn't get to it this week. We didn't get to chapter 9. Next week will absolutely blow your mind, because we have Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and I promise you will not forget their names after next week, which is next Friday. Noah gets a little drunk. And it's very interesting, actually. And we'll study that. Trying to think if there's anything else before we leave. Yep. Alright, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Dear God, thank you for this time this morning. I pray that you will just grow in each one's heart here, God. I pray that they would realize you and just the love you have for us, God. Please be with us today and over this Thanksgiving break. Please help us to get into your word and just understand more about you. I thank you that we can learn about you here at school, God. In your name I pray. Amen.